Hello, welcome to the Uncensored Podcast again, and this is your host, Destiny Campbell, and I hope everyone is having a really great night. And the first episode I've made on the Uncensored Podcast, it was titled Reality TV, Where Diversity Goes to Die. And in that first episode, I was discussing a lot of stereotypes in reality TV, especially amongst Black women, in the dating scene, especially, and just reality TV, period. And in this episode, I want to heavily get into tokenism. And I don't even know where to start. Tokenism is something that has always been around. But because a lot of us, and when I say us, I mean Gen Z, we were a lot younger and not really paying attention to a lot of the stuff that we were watching. And now that we're older and we look back at those same things, it's like, okay, we're finally woke and kind of understand what was going on in that time because we're starting to pick up on a lot of things that we probably wouldn't have picked up on back then. And looking back now as a 22-year-old young Black woman, the shows that I used to watch, there was no diversity. There was no type of diversity, and there was always that one token Black girl in every show. Every single show. It wasn't a group of them. It wasn't multiple of them. They had to throw one Black girl in there for there to be some type of diversity. So that way, producers don't seem racist or colorist, and they don't want to deal with that type of backlash. So they kind of have this here, damn kind of moment. Like, you got what you want, now get out of my face. Type of thing, that kind of mentality just, it's becoming very prominent nowadays. And kind of what sparked the whole tokenism in me was someone on Twitter actually made a really good point, especially talking about the Disney reboots that are going on. And it was a trailer of the Wizards of Waverly Place Disney reboot. And one of the characters who is nowhere near Black, but I think she's still considered a POC. She's still a Latina. But she had a daughter on the show who was clearly biracial. She was light skin with box braids. And everyone is just like tweeting back and forth with each other. Like, it was like they're just putting random Black people in there just to have them there to create that diversity. It's not, I'm gonna put Black characters here because it's authentic. They're just putting them there just to say, oh, well, there's a Black girl in the show, so we can still keep the Black crowd. And that whole mentality needs to be done. And it's, I don't know if it's, you know what it is. It is a racist thing. Because there's nothing wrong with casting more Black people to be on TV. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I really feel like a lot of producers and executives, they don't really want to have any POC kind of outshine their stars, in which their stars are predominantly white people. And this goes back into reality TV as well, as I've stated kind of or slightly touched bases on in my first episode. There is a complex, I feel like, when it comes toward Black women. And I know that I'm talking about Black women a lot because this is the demographic that gets the shortest end of the stick every single time. It's always going to be some issue with Black women. They're not going to find it with Latina women. They're not going to find it with the white women, and not really necessarily the Asians either. But with Black women, it is always an issue. And I don't think any Black person in this world wants to just be shoved somewhere out of pity. No Black person wants to be shoved somewhere because they were told or producers felt like they just had to. People want to be wanted. Black people want to be wanted. And there's nothing wrong with that. And this is my issue personally with the whole tokenism thing, is that why does there have to be a token Black girl or a token person of color anyway? Why is there not being more and more representation as time goes on? Because, like I said before, we are waking up and we are noticing certain things. But I don't really think that the world, especially Hollywood, is ready for that change. No matter what happens, there is still going to be that Black versus white kind of thing. And in show business and what I've learned about Hollywood, they're going to do whatever they want to do, and they're not going to care. And then they're going to make up every single excuse in the book to try and deflect the type of things that they're projecting out, as if we don't know what you're projecting. The truth of the matter is, they really do not want, I think, Black people to kind of outshine them or overtake what it is that they have planned. And even current shows today, the Wednesday series with Jenna Ortega. I love the Wednesday series. And when I saw, so on the show, they have a Black character who is a siren. She is a mermaid siren. And she was this beautiful, gorgeous, chocolate brown Hershey Kiss skin. She had a low buzz cut and the piercing, most beautiful blue eyes. Of course, they were contacts because it was a part of her character. But it was really amazing to see because Tim Burton actually made a comment and he said he felt as though Black people didn't really fit his vision. So to see her on TV killing her role and as a Black girl on a Tim Burton series, I lit up like a Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. I was so seated when I saw her, and it was a good, it was a good thing to see as someone who isn't the typical, stereotypical Black girl, the monolith that people have on Black people, and that they're only one genre of Black people. I am a very quirky Black girl. I do have a buzz cut. I'm very tall and lanky. I don't really talk much to people. I have piercings and tattoos and all this extra stuff. And I talk about nerdy things that a lot of other Black people may not like, or white people never thought I could like, or anything of that matter. So to see kind of someone that is like you on TV, that means a lot. Representation really does matter because it's like, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. I can finally see myself on a character. I can see myself depicted on TV. I can finally see myself and say, yeah, this is cool. This is amazing. And I think tokenism kind of strips that away. And it's very hurtful too, because it should never, it shouldn't, Black people should not be a burden when it comes to Hollywood. It shouldn't be that much of a problem when it comes to certain stuff. And it's like, they, don't get me wrong, Hollywood will actually try and accommodate and make changes. And I want to get into also this as well with movies. And I've noticed this heavily in movies where Caucasians, the pink people, are getting really pissed at the fact that they keep casting Black people to play roles that are essentially white, like The Little Mermaid, played by Halle Bailey, or Tinkerbell being played by Yara Shahidi, or Rapunzel. There's talks about that, and they wanted an Indian girl to play that role, and it's infuriating onto them. And I'm not gonna lie, they have somewhat of a point. And you kind of have to just shake your head on it, because why are we constantly making originally white characters and replacing them with Black characters? I can see what they're trying to do, but it's not helping. Why do that when you can create more Black characters? Why are we doing certain things when we can create princesses and characters and superheroes and sidekicks of people of those races that we are now using as the new face when the old faces were white people? It doesn't make any sense. Don't get me wrong, like I said before, I can clearly see what they're trying to do, and they're trying to open that barrier for diversity, and they're trying to kind of extend their platforms and draw people in, especially POC people. But this is not the way to go about it. This is not how we ask for diversity. We ask for diversity by allowing the people that were not that seen before to be seen, giving them a chance. It would be amazing to see more Black people on screen, more dark-skinned Black women on screen, Indian women on screen, more Pacific Asian women on screen. There is nothing wrong with expanding. There's nothing wrong with adding on. And this is the part of the tokenism that people truly don't want to kind of acknowledge it. They're acknowledging it, but it's in a place of a lot of anger, and it's in a place of, okay, we didn't ask for that, which we didn't ask for that. There's a point there. Nobody asked for that. We just asked for to be included more, to be shown more, expand on your thinking more. And as time goes on, these are the issues that are now coming to the forefront, especially on platforms like TikTok. On TikTok, nobody holds back. Everybody says whatever they want to say, and they will go to war for weeks with you on it until it gets through your head. And I love that, but at the same time, it can go too far and it could lead to some really crazy stuff. And, you know, we shouldn't be fighting or getting under each other's skin about certain things when we can learn from each other and actually understand exactly where each other are coming from, especially on this specific topic. And to white people, it's almost like, okay, we're kind of bitching that there's not enough representation for Black people and that we're doing a bit much. But then for Black people, it's almost like you're always getting the center of attention. You're always getting the longer end of the stick. And what is there left for us? Absolutely nothing. And this is not just here. It's not just in TV. It's not just in careers. It's not just in those places. It's also in places in the past as well, where white people have always had the upper hand, in which the rug was always shifted from black people. They never had their own platform. Everything that they had was taken away from them, and it was stripped down from them, and it was used for the gain and the benefit for white people. That's what it was for. So it's a lot deeper issue than just show business. Like I said before, and this is a real life issue. Tokenism is in real life. It's in real life. And it's almost like it has become so common to the point where when we see it, we kind of just breeze past it and roll our eyes, because what's going to change? And which, what is going to change? Who's going to start that change, if it even happens? And oh, brother, I really, this topic can stir up a lot of emotions for me, so I probably might sound overly passionate on it, but it's so many examples that I have, and it's so many stuff to think about. And oof, if you really sit down and really process the whole idea of tokenism, it's like, who would want to be in a position like that? Who would want to be just the token black person, the one black person? Like, nobody wants to be like that. And this stuff even happens in like schools where, oh, I gotta get into this. It happens in schools, and I'm gonna get a bit personal with this example that I'm using. So I no longer, well, I recently moved, so I don't really reside in Georgia anymore. I live in Pennsylvania now. And the area I do live in, my younger sister goes to a school that is more so predominantly white, in which she is one of the very few black girls in her school. And she's that one black girl in her classes, majority of the time, because I don't think that there's any other black child in her class besides her. And she's expected kind of to hold herself to a certain standard because she's black. And these are conversations that my mom and I have to have with her for her to understand that you're not going to have it easy, because there's already, again, that stereotype and that propaganda against black people in a sea full of white people. So it's a different ball game for you. And with that being said, as a black person, you kind of always have to do a little bit more. And tokenism is not just, okay, you're the only black person in the room. You have to be the black person and excel at what you're doing. You can't afford to mess up. You can't afford to slip up. You can't afford to make mistakes, because the moment you show that mistake, the moment you do something wrong, it's over. Next person, it's almost like a garbage disposal. Toss you out, get another one, you're a replacement. And that kind of it kind of flutters something. It kind of strikes a nerve in me because it's already the most gut-wrenching feeling to feel like you're just put somewhere, just to be put somewhere, and not being there because you're actually appreciated and you actually, people think that you actually have the vernacular or the talent to be amongst something, but you're there because if you're not there, then it's going to fall back on me. It's going to be racism on me. And this is exactly how a lot of people think in real life. And it's a sad thing to say. And no one really, it's not, I know I've probably like said a bunch of stuff in circles, but it's really not much to like say. It's something that's never spoken about. It's a taboo situation. And as I get older, it's like, damn. A lot of nothing has really changed, has it? Absolutely nothing. And as I said before, with the Dan Snyder situation and those black children who kind of felt like they weren't cared for or appreciated, and one of the black female actors had even said she was the token black girl. Because she was the only black girl out of the whole production. It was one black girl and one black boy in one season of All That, which was produced by Dan Schneider. And it was basically like a children's version of SNL. And the rest of the cast were white. And they were the only two black people there. And they said, "We were the golden black children. Why were they the golden black children? Why?" There was not a safe space created for them to have, except their parents and each other. That was it. They couldn't run to Dan for advice or any producers because the producers were pedophiles. The cameramen were pedophiles. A lot of the workers there were pedophiles. And the white children were also bullied. Some of them were, but they were still held on a certain pedestal because that's what was wanted. But you still needed those black people to create your ratings, give you profit, bring your viewers, and then you treat them like garbage behind closed doors because you just can, because you're giving them money, because you're giving them a platform. Make it make sense. Make it make sense. And this has gone on for ages. It has gone on for years. And another black woman, which I love her dearly, she plays, I think, one of the Gross sisters. She plays Nubia. Nubia Gross on Proud Family, and she's done other things. And before she got her gig on Proud Family, she also starred on All That, in which she said that there was a scene where Amanda Bynes kept spitting water in her face. And one of the producers was like, "I know you hate this, but we just got to get this done." And it's like, and also, she was also one of the only black girls on that set on her season because it was multiple seasons. And that right there was just disrespect. There was no safe space for her. And she just had to take it. Because she was black, because she even said that she wasn't treated the best on set. And Dan, as to so much, batted his eyes toward the black children. But again, held a lot of those white children on a higher standard, especially Amanda Bynes. And he held her so much on a pedestal to where she had gotten her own show. He got heavily invested in her life, and only to have turned around completely to change her life, did very much pedophile things to her, and her life has never been the same since. Amanda Bynes has been in the same mental space for years now, and she has not changed, left show business, and now she's just roaming the streets. Tokenism. There's a lot to say about it. And it's a huge issue, a really, really huge issue. And nobody deserves to be put in predicaments like that. And what I want for people to do is get it together, especially with our newer generation. It's not about Gen Z anymore. It's not about us. And I'm glad that we have Gen Z and even the millennials that learn from Gen Z, and we learn from each other, because now we can have these open conversations. Now we can benefit and bounce off of each other and talk about this thing and get the next generation, which is not Generation Z, but the younger ones, to actually watch something or even pick up a book and see themselves on it. Tokenism, like I said before, it kind of erases diversity. It kind of puts a damper on it. Nobody's being asked to just be thrown in a place just to be thrown there. We want to be seen too. We want to be loved on too. We want to be appreciated as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think it's that much of a request. I don't think it's that much of a burden, and I don't think it's wrong to ask. We are living in a completely different time, in a completely different era, and there are more Black children that are becoming aware of things in the world, especially socially and politically. So when they get home and wind down, and they watch a TV show or even anything in the real world, and it's like they want to be able to look at something and say, I see myself. And it's like they cannot really do that. They now that they can, which I, like I said before, I think that Hollywood is finally taking that step into, involving more diversity, especially for the younger POC crowd of children. But we still have to do a whole lot more. A whole lot more, because I don't want to put on a show and it's the same mixed race girl who is very, very white featured, and you're gonna sit there and bamboozle me into thinking, oh, that's the Black girl. And I'm not erasing their Blackness if they are Black. I'm just saying that is not Black to a lot of people, especially in today's society, to anyone who is watching something on TV or scrolling through their social media. When you think of Black, you think of highly melanated. When you think of Black, you may think albino, you think dark skin, you think brown skin, you think all of these things. People that are authentically Black, that's what you're thinking. And there is a huge lack of when it comes to dark skinned people. And this also goes into tokenism, also bringing in colorism, because every single time that I watch TV, and I can also include the dating show as well. Whenever they do that stuff, their Black girl is always really, really heavily dark with bold features, or she's super light skinned with the same loose curly hair. It's literally no in between. There is no range. There is nothing there. It's either one or the other. Take it or leave it. That's it. And then we're just looking at each other like, are you for real right now? Like, are you serious? This can't be real. And it has to be a work in progress at some point. I can say that as time goes on, I think that we're doing a really bang up job with calling these sorts of things out so that, like I said, that next generation won't have to deal with it the same way we had to deal with it. And they can finally live in a world and feel seen and feel important the same way that the pink people have felt for years because they've always been the standard. And it's crazy that even now that there is tokenism in every single aspect in life, every single waking part of life, but the same white people, they cannot do anything without black people. They just can't. Some may argue and say, yeah, they can, which granted they can, but black is what's hot right now. Black is what's doing numbers right now. That's what has always done numbers. That's what was always important. Black was always the standard. Now that we're living in a time where it's heavily the standard, they're going to take everything black and whitewash it and try and make it their own and then try to bamboozle and kind of gaslight everyone into thinking, okay, this is what diversity in black culture is supposed to look like, and it's not. Erase tokenism. That term doesn't even need to exist because this is not the 50s, this is not the 60s, this is not the 70s, this is not the 80s. We're not living in the past. This is 2024. We are not our ancestors. We will get in the field with you. This ain't that, and it will never be that. And I am glad that we are now living in a time where nobody is afraid to speak out. Nobody is afraid to confront certain things, and everybody has a voice of their own. You can't help but to respect that. You just can't. And I probably have went on such a long rant talking about this, but I want people to really listen and understand what it is that I'm saying, and I probably rambled on. Hopefully what I said makes somewhat of some sense, but this is a different era. We got to grow up and graduate from certain stuff and actually give people a reason to want to tune in. And as a black woman, as black people, or especially me, I can only speak for myself. As a black woman, I'm always rooting for anybody black. Now, when you're acting crazy and doing the most on TV, like a lot of the current shows and stuff nowadays, but I'm always rooting for somebody black. I'm always rooting for that because it's such a powerful statement and it's amazing to witness. Because it just shows young black women like me and young black men, older black women, older black men that it can happen. Things can happen. And you can relate to what you see on TV. You can, and even in your normal life. You can relate to others on a deeper level and make you feel whole. And I know that Gen Z, especially with this situation, I know that we've probably have filled so many different voids in the life of a millennial because of the stuff that they couldn't say, or the stuff that they couldn't speak out on, or the certain stuff they couldn't advocate for. And now Gen Z is holding the millennials' hand, and we can. There's a whole bunch of changes that can be made because we're not afraid to speak out. This, like I said before, this is a different era and time, and we are more than able to speak out on what we feel is what's right and what's wrong. And I'm glad that I'm even able to speak on this issue on a platform, or even bring this thing into a conversation. And I just, that's enough for me. And I greatly appreciate that because I'm sure there was a time and day where we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. Life would have continued. We would still have everything whitewashed. We would still have to, I don't know, kiss ass to the white people because we just have to fall in line and have to follow every single rule and just be okay with every single thing. And this is not that. This is not that. It's just not. And I just want to say thank you for listening to this podcast, and thank you for listening to episode 2. And I hope that this conversation gets a lot of people thinking, to whoever listens to it. And have those conversations, respectful conversations where people will listen and understand. And thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this TED Talk and me rant for almost 37 minutes. Have a great night.